Hello, everyone, and welcome to season 4, episode 3. Claire here.
Yay!
With Dana.
Yay!
We are going to be diving into a little bit more of 1 Corinthians today as we talk about the art of community.
That's right. And I am just so excited because I don't think we've actually done a podcast episode together.
No, I was telling Chelsea earlier, the world is not ready for a Claire and Dana episode.
There's
a lot of energy here.
One day you'll see all of us. We're working on that. So, all right. So this is the third episode, second episode on 1 Corinthians, and we're going to dive a little deeper into the text. We're going to focus specifically on 1 Corinthians chapter 12. If you have a Bible, feel free to break it out or get it out on your phone. Bible Gateway is a great resource. And we're going to talk through a couple of core verses. You can read all 31. We're not going to dig into every single one, but there's a couple of themes that are going to come out here. So do you want to kick it off?
Sure. Yeah. So as we're thinking about 1 Corinthians 12, when Paul is writing this letter to the Corinthians, he is helping them learn how to be a community. How are they going to be a church together? So it's interesting. Even before you get to chapter 12 and chapter 11, you can really tell they're having a lot of issues. Chapter 11 is about the Lord's Supper and eating together. And Paul is admonishing them and telling them, you know, it seems like some of you are taking more of your share. Some of you are even getting drunk. So there are other people who are there who are going hungry because they were last in line.
Yes.
So when he gets to chapter 12, he's giving them examples of what it looks like to be a better community, how to live well and do things better together. So he breaks it down and gives them a couple of examples. He talks about spiritual gifts and he talks about this analogy of the body of Christ,
which is so fun. And it is, I mean, it's hard to be in community. And Chelsea and I talked about that in the first episode is, you know, what we're going to really focus on here is you're distinct people, right? I'm a person with my own stuff. Claire's a person with her own stuff. We all have our own areas outside, but we come together into this thing called community and we try to grow deeper in our relationship with God, with ourselves, and then with each other. And so sometimes that's complicated. And so Paul is really trying to give us some direction on how that looks. And as Claire mentioned, in the first passage, he's talking about different spiritual gifts and how we all have different spiritual gifts. But there's one particular verse that Claire and I both just gravitated towards.
Yes.
And I think we have to just talk about it. It's verse 7, where he talks about the common good.
Yes, he says, a demonstration of the Spirit is given to each person for the common good. And as Dana and I were both reading and wrestling with 1 Corinthians 12, we both highlighted this exact same verse. So we thought, we have to figure out, what does Paul mean by common good? Because people are going to define the common good as very, very different things.
That's
as we're
right.
saying, being in community is hard. People are going to have wildly different opinions. So I thought I would look up.
Claire did her research.
I did my research. 2 semesters of Greek
Yay!
Finally are paying off. What word was Paul actually using when he was writing common good? So I did a little digging. The Greek word symphero, which is in a lot of places in the Bible, and this is not the first time Paul has used this word to letters to different churches. The word symphero, which means to collect, to be profitable to, what stood out to me and what I think Paul is talking about here is to bear or bring together.
Oh, I love that.
So in other words, you know, Paul is trying to get these people to say, what is worth bringing
together.
To community, bringing together? What is worth bearing together?
Hmm.
Which takes vulnerability on both sides,
yeah.
I think.
Yeah. And first, for those that don't know, the New Testament was written in ancient Greek. And so we always, if we can, go back to the Greek to really try and understand, because as you know, certainly if you speak multiple languages, it doesn't always translate easily into English. There's always different versions. So yeah, I mean, I think this is an interesting idea of the common good, because you're right. When I thought of common good, my brain goes to like the beloved community, right? I'm thinking, what's the beloved community? But this is a little bit of a different thought to it, to bear or bring together. How do we do that? Like, what does that even look like?
Yeah. So what helped me contextualize it was looking at where Paul has used this before.
Mm-hmm.
So Paul actually used this in Acts. He was writing to the church at Ephesus,
mm-hmm.
You might know the Ephesians. And he says, you know, I held back nothing that would be helpful so that I could proclaim you and teach you. Now, we've talked about some ways that Paul could be problematic. I personally think Paul can be a little sassy in some of his letters.
He's got some sass.
And this is definitely an example of his sass. But I think I want to say that Paul had a good heart. And when he's saying, you know, I held back nothing and that would be helpful, it's his idea of weighing what is going to be helpful and what is going to contribute to the community. What has to do with the building up the community and members of the community that doesn't just work for your own advantage, but is really thinking about others.
And that is so, and I know we've talked about this. Claire and I have also met and talked about this, and we wish we would have always hit record to get the, you know, conversation before the conversation, because I'm born and raised in America, grew up in Pennsylvania, lived in San Diego. So the water and the air that I breathe, and I'm a white cisgender woman, right? And it's individualized for me. Like I always think, I do think, you know, am I always thinking about myself first? How do I make sure that I turn that off and think about other people and what's better for other people? Because I do think there's an individualistic behavior that kind of permeates in our society. I can take care of myself. I got my own car. I got a job. I don't need anybody else. I can do it on my own. I am a superwoman.
Definitely, definitely. And there's nothing wrong with that.
No.
But I think in this next section, verses 12 through 31, Paul goes into this different example. And if you're reading it, you're like, why is Paul talking about all these different body parts?
Right.
Paul is comparing the church, the community here, to a body and the way that it works together. And I think sometimes when we read these things, it's easy to get into our individualized minds. As Dana was saying, these are the waters we're swimming in, and think, if Paul is saying you're an eye, you do the seeing, this person is an ear, you do the hearing, it's really easy to get into this place of thinking Paul is talking about division of labor. But I think if we really look at how the body really works and what Paul is really trying to say here, he's really getting it more at interdependence.
Yes, yes. Oh, yeah. This is so good. Okay. Because division of labor is definitely, I think, a common, even in my own life, I feel like I live more into division of labor idea. Like, okay, I'll do this, you do this. I mean, even in our group, it's like, okay, Claire's going to do this, Chelsea's going to do this, Dana's going to do this. And is it more division of labor, or are we really doing interdependence? So let's talk about, what does interdependence mean? How is it different from division of labor?
Yeah, so Paul is using the example of the body here.
Yeah.
And he says, you know, he's saying some people are eyes, some people are ears, some people are going to be the hands and the feet. And he talks about how, you know, some of these might be less presentable members of the body, but they all can't work without the other.
That's right.
You know,
when I'm
seeing things with my eyes, I can't do that without my brain to receive those signals.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
When I'm hearing things with my ears, I can't do that without my brain and all my cells working together to send signals for everything to work together. And I think that speaks to what true interdependence is. You know, when I'm doing something, I can't do that without, whether it's the sheer support of Dana, or even, you know, Dana possibly telling me what to do in the best way.
In very encouraging, supportive words. Well, it's so funny because I was thinking of examples of, like, even in the body, but I've had knee problems and I've had, you know, an MRI done. Structurally, my knee is okay, but I do have some, you know, ligament issues or whatever. But I went to the physical therapist and he's like, oh, okay, well, we got to focus on your big toe. And I'm like, what? I mean, he literally, I'm barefoot. He's like looking at my, and I have terrible bunions. Okay, you're learning way much too much about me. But he is saying, okay, well, your big toe is connected to your knee. And so because I have bunions, I'm not walking properly, which is now putting extra pressure and my knee is turning outward. And so I've got knee issues. So I just was like, okay, this is what we're talking about right here.
Yeah.
It all works together.
Yeah. And, you know, we talk about how so many of us are so privileged to live in a society where it's already the waters that we're swimming in, that we live such independent lives.
Yes.
Which in many ways is so great, but in some ways works to our disadvantage. But I will say, something I was sharing with Dana was, when I think about interdependence, I think about the ways that I can't help but rely on certain people in my life. My husband is in the military, and there are many times that he's gone for extended periods of time, and I have to rely on the other spouses and people in that community because they're the only ones who really get it, which is beautiful. And so we can't help but have this interdependent community where, you know, if I need to pick up the phone and call them, those are my people.
Yeah.
And that's what we're talking about when we're getting at interdependence here.
Yeah. It's and which is very different than division of labor. And it's also different than codependence.
Yes.
Because you're not codependent on your husband. Mm-hmm. You're each your own individual, but you're coming together to be connected and even with your friends when, you know, if your husband's traveling or if he's away. Like, you're each individual, but you're coming together to count on one another.
Yeah. And something else, as Dana and I were exploring, what do we really mean by interdependence? Because we didn't want to go too far into codependence.
Right.
But we didn't want to be, you know, to root and just saying, you know, we just divide and conquer.
Right.
I think there's another level to interdependence. And I think as you're getting in your communities and you're talking together, I think a level of it is also creating this space to grow and giving each other room to even fail.
Yeah.
When I was in seminary, I was able to participate in something kind of like a dinner church. And instead of calling it a safe space, they called it a brave space because they wanted people to not just hold back, but to bring their full selves to the extent that they were comfortable with in a way that, you know, you brought yourself and you gave each other people the grace, you know, to possibly fail or to ask a stupid question and that be okay. And you give them that grace.
And you're supporting them regardless. If they succeed or if they fail, you're supporting them. You're their safety net and giving them that space to grow in whatever way. And yeah, it's a powerful image to think about, a powerful way to live. And it's not easy, and we understand that. And it does require, I think, a certain level of trust, right? Mm-hmm. And sometimes, especially in the groups that are forming now, that might take a little bit of time. Some people may know each other really well and they're already doing that, but some groups may not, and they really need to, you know, take time to do that. But the trust is such an important factor in all of this.
Yeah, I think trust is crucial.
Yeah.
We're not telling you to just recklessly get into these groups and be this open, you know, penetrable thing that anything can come to, or you can just say anything. We want you to set those boundaries.
Yeah.
Like Dana said in the last episode, we want you, you know, to an extent to have those safe spaces, but we challenge you to be brave.
Yeah.
And bringing yourself and bring yourself to a point where you can trust other people that you might not have thought you could trust before.
And trust God. And that's really so, that is so brave. And I think that was a great way to kind of come to the end of this episode is being brave in these spaces and using this particular text to really think about how you're different, but yet connected, and how you're not, it's not a division of labor, but it's an interdependence upon one another where you can learn and grow and develop together, but also within your own way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think that's beautiful. And I think that's what God calls us to in Christian community, in the art of community.
Amen. 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 All right. So anything else you want to add? You think that's a good wrap to the show?
I think that's a wrap. And we'll talk to you guys next week.
And please check out thecollectivetable.org. Don't hesitate to send us an email just to connect with us. Let us know how things are going. We love to hear from you. And always follow us on social media. All right, everybody. Bye.
Bye.